Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rev Midnight Black Mass, a production brought to you by GeorgeWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you discussions and interviews with figures in wrestling, entertainment, and general pop culture. And now the GWH Radio Network presents Midnight Black Mass.
In one of the countless billions of galaxies in the universe lies a medium-sized star, and one of its satellites, a green and insignificant planet, is now dead.
Baby, grab a knife and melt my
I am your host, the devil you know, the maniacal minister of the occult, the reverend, the professional wrestler, Dan Wilson, here to bring you another edition full of thrills, chills, and shills on the Midnight Black Mass. You can tell I might be fighting a bit of a head cold here. My gravelly voice sounds a little off kilter, but I'm finally getting over the Christmas crud, as I like to call it. Made me sick as a dog for several days, but now I'm out of the bed and feeling good. And back here on the Midnight Black Mass, we took last week off due to the holiday hustle and bustle, but we're back here, ending 2011. It is officially New Year's Eve, and marching forward on cloven hoof into 2012. Track you just heard there was a band called Unspoken Triumph. A song called The Witching off their recent release EP Vindication. You can purchase at unspokentriumph.bandcamp.com to download your copy of that today. Vocalist of Unspoken Triumph, Mr. Ian Sharp, will be our special guest later tonight. And we've also got another edition of the Muji Movie Minute, taking a look, finally, the long-awaited look at the horror movie Santa's Sleigh, starring Bill Goldberg. We talked about it. We scanned through Netflix many times, passing it over. And then, of course, when the Christmas season came around and we wanted to watch it, Netflix had taken it off. But Muji was able to track it down, and he's got the blow-by-blow for you. Later tonight on the Muji Movie Minute, we'll have another edition of TV Casualty looking at the DC Animated Universe and Batman the Animated Series. Episode tonight is called Pretty Poison, featuring the debut of Dr. Pamela Isley, better known as Poison Ivy, the deadly and famous Batman villainess. We've got another Seance of the Damned, the Yanoli. Let's just put it this way. You never know who's going to show up when we conduct the Seance of the Damned, but as always, I prepared the incantations, and we're ready to go for that later. I just want to talk about the year 2011. That's going to be a running theme tonight. It was a good year, in my opinion, of course, in professional wrestling and my exploits in the managerial, promotional, and other fields. I thought it was an excellent year. It survived another one, for one, but NWA Chattanooga, which I'm heavily involved in, not only survived but thrived, and is now under new ownership and new management, and things are looking really good for NWA Chattanooga in 2012. Pay us a visit over at www.nwachattanooga.com. Next event there is Friday, November the 20th, at Soddy Daisy Middle School in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. We'll be featuring the Scenic City Hall of Fame 2012 edition with Rock and Roll Ricky Morton, one half of the Rock and Roll Express, Pat Rose, and legendary female wrestler Joyce Grable, all going into the Scenic City Hall of Fame. You got the Big Dog Collar Match main event for the Southeastern Heavyweight title as the Strong Style Psycho Take takes on the Deadly Sin 7 with me in his corner. Also, don't forget on that card, you got Shawn Tempers, the Temptation, the NWA North American Champion, defending his title against Patrick Bentley in a 2 out of 3 falls match. So that little war that they had brewing up here in the Scenic City for the past few months is going to come to a head there as well. It was a great year in NWA Anarchy until I was suspended by Franklin Dove for knocking him on his ass, amongst other things that I allegedly perpetrated. But regardless, it's okay. The year was almost over, so you didn't manage to piss on my parade too much, Franklin Dove and NWA Anarchy. But the hate junkies, we're still waiting on some competition to show up for those guys. They dominated the tag team scene. Whether they hold the NWA Anarchy Tag Team Championship or not at this point is of no question. They obviously want the gold. They want the paydays that come with it. But they have just as much fun kicking everybody's ass. And as far as we're concerned, there's no competition left in NWA Anarchy for the hate junkies. I'm still riding out my suspension there, but hopefully the idiots down there, I mean the fine management staff down there, will come to their senses and reinstate the Reverend here pretty soon. I'm making my appeal, and my attorney, Jeff G. Bailey, is already on the case. So hopefully we'll be seeing the Rev back in NWA Anarchy. And, of course, NWA Anarchy heavyweight champion, the son of Satan, Azrael. What a year for him. Finally, after 15 years of busting his ass, became the NWA Anarchy Heavyweight Champion, a title with so much prestige, respect, and history. really finally getting his due and has held that well into the end of 2011 and will be the champion in 2012. And as far as I can see, quite honestly, because another thing, the competition is slim for Azrael. He eliminated his biggest threat, in my opinion, which was Chemo. You know, the Temptation, Shawn Tempers, NWA North American Champion, and him had a little incident at the NWA Anarchy Season's beatings. I'm not going to go into my family business too much there, but of course, Temptation's the North American Champion. He don't need to be focusing on the NWA Anarchy Heavyweight title. But regardless, and moving on from NWA Anarchy, the Midnight Black Mass debuted, had a great time getting this thing off the ground. We started over just at our own little small blog talk radio station. We've now moved on over to the much larger and more accommodating Georgia Wrestling History Network, and we've been greeted with a great response. So I'm happy to continue the Midnight Black Mass for all of you who are just a little bit on the weird side like me. You don't exactly walk on the normal side of things, but the dark side. It was a big year for the Midnight Black Mass. We had Hank Williams III. We had Unknown Henson. We had Gideon Smith. And Robert Everett, formerly of the G.G. Allen bandmate. And we had Gunner from TNA. We had Steven Walters and many of my wrestling cohorts from over the years. One half the World Tag Team Champions, Corey Chavis, Shawn Tempers, a North American champion. And a hell of a show with Strychnine was one of our most talked about shows to date. It's really been a pleasure, and we're going to keep it going for you. And then, of course, it ended with the birth of my daughter, Lorelai. So 2011 has been a great year for the Reverend, and I had a few rough years before that, two or three of them in a row, actually. So 2011, it's high time. The Rev had a good year, and I had a great one in 2011. We'll touch on the music news a little bit, just continuing with this year-in-review theme. I got to see a lot of great concerts this year. We saw Danzig in Atlanta. It was a dream come true, finally getting to see the legendary Glenn Danzig in action. We saw Motley Crue. We saw Poison. We saw Unknown Henson. We saw Dokken and Sour Vein and many more. Just had a great year for concert-going experiences. And well, I missed a lot of good ones there towards the end of the year due to fatherhood duties. Big ones like actually Alice Cooper and Guns N' Roses, but that's quite all right. We'll catch them on the next go-around, 2012. I'm very much looking forward to getting out there in the metal clubs, at the arenas, and seeing the music that I hold so dear to my heart live and in color. Always, you always say live music is the way to go. If you can't do it live, then you don't need to be doing it on the album, as they say. That's nothing I love more than a great live show. And a lot of great local bands here in Chattanooga, too. Unspoken Triumph being one of those. But certainly much more to that, and we'll talk about that later with our guest, Ian Sharp. Some of my favorite albums of the year, I'm going to get the Rev's albums of the year right now in terms of heavy music and even in not-so-heavy music for in some cases, that these were my picks for the finest crafted albums of the year. Anthrax, Worship Music, what a success story for Anthrax. Those are guys that have been down for the scene for a long time. Scotty and the crew, Frankie Bello, Charlie Benante, and back with the heyday of Anthrax singer Joey Belladonna, who they've had a long and sordid checkered past with. Everything seems to be great in that camp, and the new album, Worship Music, showed it probably their best output to date. And that's, you know, I love Among the Living. I love Sound of White Noise. I love State of Euphoria, but man alive, Worship Music is where it's at. We're going to have a little cut called The Devil You Know. Coming up later from Anthrax, that's on tap. Mastodon had a new release that I enjoyed quite a bit. They keep pumping out those space jams. The album was called The Hunter, single out called Curl of the Burl right now. You need to go over to iTunes.com and pick up your copy of that. It's a great album. Hank Williams III, also a guest here on the show. I thought his double Ghost to a Ghost album was really an unprecedented effort in terms of what he has brought to the table in the past. He has heard a lot of his traditional country, the hillbilly sound, a lot of the louder, more ambient things that he tried to accomplish with various noises and sound effects to really create a mood for the album. A lot of the Cajun influences that were used, special guest by Tom Waits. It was one hell of a record, and that wasn't Hank Three's only offering that made my albums of the year. I want to give a huge shout out to his doom metal project, Attention Deficit Domination. Very reminiscent, actually, in my opinion, of Black Label Society in the vocal patterns, but he told me directly here on the show that it was actually a tribute to Lane Staley of Alice in Chains, which you could also see that very clearly. And you can see it in Zach Wilde's voice as well, quite honestly. It's like Ozzy and Lane Staley mixed together. So Hank 3, Ghost to a Ghost double album, Attention Deficit Domination. Friend of the show, former guest, please go to Hank3.com and purchase your copies of those albums. Let's get into some more tunes now that the music news is out of the way. Continuing our year in review theme for 2011. I'll be back here in a moment to talk about some of the best in comic books and best in movies, in my opinion. And we'll talk more about that also later on the Muji Movie Minute. But speaking of that, Anthrax, you're talking about an album of the year, in my opinion, in Anthrax's worship music, and we're going to give you a little taste of that right now. Fans, here is a tune called The Devil You Know. We'll be right back. And that was Anthrax with The Devil You Know off of their 2011 release and the Rams' personal pick for Album of the Year, Worship Music. Head over to iTunes.com and pick up your copy today. You will not regret it if you haven't spun that. I highly suggest it. One other album that I actually forgot to mention in the previous discussion of my favorite albums of the year, close second actually to my pick for Anthrax Worship Music, was Machine Head's newest release, Unto the Locust. These guys have been at it for a long time. The band went through a lot of metamorphosis. They've actually ended up becoming one of the most consistent in terms of good songwriting, in terms of balls-to-the-wall heaviness, and just in terms of generally flying that heavy metal flag in Machine Head. Very, very happy for their recent success. I saw them years ago in Chattanooga, Tennessee at the Bay when that club was still open, if any of our local yokels remember that. It was about the one decent club ever come through Chattanooga. Slayer and Guar and several bands played there. Actually, a band that I don't despise, quite honestly, Nickelback, when they were like nobodies, they were touring just in the regional scene, and they seemed to be at the Bay every damn week. So it was really a hot spot. Unfortunately, that got shut down, but it was awesome to get to see Machine Head there and got to talk and meet with most of the band that night. And they were all just very laid back, down to earth, cool guys. So pick up that album, Unto the Locust, and we're going to move forward with this discussion now. We talked about music, but now I want to get into the comic book side of things. You know, the Rev loves his funny books. I do. I'm a huge, lifelong fan of comics. They reached me as a child. I went through a several-year period from basically teenage years to about 4 years ago where I pretty much just put them down and abandoned them. And thank God I picked them back up because, or thank the devil in this particular case, I suppose, that I picked them back up because it's one of the most enriching parts of my life in terms of the entertainment that I view. It's comic books. It's reading and looking at art and so much in the realm of comics. DC Comics had the new 52 this year. That was a big, huge news story and a big initiative by them, and one that seems to be paying off. Their numbers are through the roof. Comics business has been financially in a bad way for a long time. So by DC Comics relaunching their entire line of comics, they've been able to refocus that to young readers and old readers alike, but people that might be wanting to jump on don't really want to try to figure out 15 different crises, quote-unquote, in terms of alternate realities and how everyone came to be, because after 50-some-odd years of history, that gets quite convoluted, especially if you're not careful. In DC Comics, great job with the reissue New 52. I don't really care for the Superman outfit, but that's about the only complaint I have. The comic Action Comics relaunch of Superman has been amazing. Detective Comics of Batman, their flagship title, has been amazing. Just a great, fresh take on a lot of these characters. And now they had some bombs. A lot of people really shit all over Red Hood and the Outlaws and the sexualization of Starfire, of the Teen Titans. Not because she was a sexy character, apparently, but just because that was against her her character building or character makeup, that's the word I'm looking for, according to comic fans. And so there was a lot of negative publicity about that, but they turned it right around and became the best-selling series of comics for the year. Another Punisher Max from Marvel Comics by Jason Aaron has been fantastic. Still trying to get him on the show. He has agreed to actually become a guest here, but having trouble making schedules work out, as you can tell, with busy folks. And I'm a busy man, and Jason Aaron is a writer making deadlines, so you know he's a busy man. Amazing Spider-Man was a great book this year, Walking Dead, and, of course, Uncanny X-Men. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to move forward on the show to the next segment, and we'll be also talking about the year in review with movies. For it is time for the Muji Movie Minute. And finally, moods, all of the dedication and investigation in tracking down this little gem. It was Santa's Sleigh, starring Bill Goldberg. Welcome to the show, my friend. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Just was watching a little MMA. Brock Lesnar got killed and retired from MMA. So I bet you
wow.
He's at WrestleMania. I bet he's on WrestleMania.
Incredible. I'm not. UFC is not really our realm of discussion. God knows the other shows on the network talk about it enough. But this being Georgia wrestling history, I guess they can talk about MMA. I can talk about all the craziness that I talk about. So it all evens out. The Muji, the movie with Santa's Sleigh with Bill Goldberg. Your thoughts, my friend?
Oh, yeah. From good old 2005. Santa's Sleigh, the basic premise of the movie is that Goldberg is Santa. In this movie, Santa is actually the son of Satan, and he lost a bet to this angel where he had to stop being evil and had to, for 1,000 years, be exactly the opposite, where he had to bring kids gifts and be Santa. Well, in the movie, the 1,000 years up, so Santa goes back to making up for lost time and starts killing people as fast as possible.
So shit is on.
Yes. And he's played by Goldberg, and the movie is hilarious. It's bad in, like, all the very best ways. It's a movie that at any moment, if somebody said, hey, you want to watch that, I would totally watch. It's pretty awful. It starts out with kind of the little backstory, and then you get this table of people having dinner with, like, semi-famous people. You got Chris Kattan and Fran Drescher, the nanny, in this family. And their kids are, like, griping about their gifts, and then Goldberg comes in and kills them all, and he kills everybody hilariously. Like, he picks somebody up to power slam them and throws them, and, you know, they end up getting, like, a fork in the head. Just, it was obvious that they were going for campiness and all the kills. You know, if you love Goldberg, then you get to see him spear somebody, and when the movie ends, he looks straight to the camera and says, who's next? So that's all some good positive stuff in it.
Wow.
And, I mean, that's pretty much the movie. He goes into a strip club and burns it down and, you know, kills all the patrons. He goes
kills
into
all
a place
of the ho-ho-hos.
Yes, and that is definitely said. He goes into a donut shop and kills a guy and dresses him up like a donut. It's
How does one dress like a donut, Muji?
He gets some, he puts sprinkles and shit on it.
Fair enough.
But it's, it's all pretty hilarious. And the gimmick is guy who cursed him, the angel, is now just the grandpa of this guy. And, of course, the kid, with the help of his love interest, has to find a way to stop him. So they end up doing something. I can't even remember because I was laughing too hard. But they end up doing something that causes him to not be Santa anymore. Somebody else takes over the role of Santa, and then he just has to go live out his life of retirement without killing people.
Non-Santa jabroni.
Yes, I would highly recommend it. If you like really bad movies, I mean, this is somewhere in my top five of favorite bad movies. I mean, like, I would watch the movie Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth at the drop of a hat because it's hilarious, you know. Watch like a made for sci-fi, you know, original, because they're hilarious. This movie is hilarious. So, I mean, it's awful. I give you a 30% well done because it's just among the worst. But it's fun, you know. It's awful and it's campy and, you know, the acting's bad. All the special effects are bad, but it's really entertaining.
Well, that's better than I could have hoped for, honestly. Usually the Mooj and I, we watch these films together so we can kind of collaborate mentally and get on the same page for what we're doing here. But Muji has had a busy schedule lately with the holidays, as have I, so we haven't had a chance to get up. But Muji got a hold of it, so I have not seen Santa's Sleigh. And with that recommendation, I'm going to have to pick it up. I might actually just buy the damn thing.
Yeah, it's going to become a Christmas tradition, I guarantee you. That's going to be, we're going to have to all get together around Christmas and watch it every single year.
Well, that's a fucking win, man. We've got our guest Unspoken Triumph frontman Ian Sharp on the line. He's holding right now. But actually, before you go, we've been talking, the theme, of course, is Year in Review. I've discussed some of my favorite comics. My top albums of the year actually gave a number one album award, in my opinion, was Anthrax's Worship Music for the year. It's the Moogie Movie Minute. I feel like there's no better time to discuss movies. And actually, if you don't mind, I'm going to bring Ian on the line a little early. He'll still get his full scheduled interview. But I want to just for a moment, before you go, Moogie, let's discuss favorite movies of the year. In just one moment, let's get Mr. Ian Sharp here on the line. Hello, Ian.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fucking fan-fucking-tastic, my brother. Thank you for joining the show. I suppose if you were listening there, you heard that I'm bringing you on just a little bit early because I know you like media just like us, and you like to share your opinion about it. We're talking about Year in Review. We're talking about movies of the year, things you like the most. And as our honored guest here tonight, I'm going to give you first pass, Ian. What were your favorite movies of 2011?
Well, shit, man, you're kind of putting me on the spot here. I'm kind of really out of the loop on, like, movies. What all came out this year?
This year was, the major comic book movies year. It was Captain America, Thor, et cetera, X-Men First Class.
I did really like X-Men First Class. I thought it was a lot better than I expected it to be. I liked Thor, too. I thought Thor was pretty sweet. But I really can't, I didn't go see too much. I know I wanted to see a lot more than I actually did. I've mostly been cooped up and watching TV shows and, you know, reading comics and listening to music and kind of let movies go to the wayside. But,
what's been the favorite TV shows of the year?
Well, it's actually been, older TV shows on Netflix. Well, I guess of stuff that's come out, I really did like Hell on Wheels. I think Hell on Wheels is awesome. I'm still a huge fan of The League. I think The League has been a great show, since it started.
Yeah, it's been hilarious.
Always Sunny kind of came back for me this year. Like, last year I didn't really like it too much, but I thought this season was a big triumphant return, and DeVito was on point all season long. It was hilarious.
But, yeah, it was really good. The one they went to the Jersey Shore was a pretty classic episode.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, anybody who knows me, I guess most people listen don't. I'm a pretty big critic of the Walking Dead TV show. We don't have to go into that if you guys don't want to, but I wasn't too stoked about it.
I think there may be a time, if you're willing to join us at a later date, actually, that we might could do that in detail because, there's a lot of fans of the show and there's fans of the camp like me who just absolutely love it. And then, there's diehard fans of the comic as well that I sort of prefaced it with that we all follow the comic from a very early point, basically. So we've been on board with this thing a long time. Ian has not been so happy with The Walking Dead TV show, and he's an intelligent, articulate guy who it would be interesting to have a differing opinion on the show, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we could get a bunch of people together and talk about that for a long time.
Yeah, we really could.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Well, Ian, if you're wanting the wrestling business, we call a heat magnet. Anybody that's not afraid to speak their mind, sometimes you get that. But, hey, that's what makes money. In your business, too, in rock and roll, I mean, look at your classic front men like David Lee Roth and Axl and Phil Anselmo. Getting heat is just a thing that you do if you're in the limelight sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it's all about not giving a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Moogie, what were your favorite picks of 2011, just overall?
Man, I was pretty happy with movies overall this year. I don't necessarily think there was, any movie that was so great that I'm going to, love it forever, I don't know, good movies. There wasn't anything that, just totally blew me away, but there was a lot of really good movies. I mean, all the Marvel movies I was happy with. Thor was good. Like I said, it was they've definitely upped the ante on special effects. I mean, Thor and Captain America, specifically Thor, it would be hard to have made that movie before now when you look at all the things that they did, because, that was the majority of the movie. The really cool stuff was how good the effects were. And it was good. It was a little It was a little campy and cheesy at times, but it was, you know, it's what you expected out of the movie. It was great. X-Men was really good. I mean, I thought X-Men was the best comic book movie that came out this year. I was super happy with it. And then, I mean, Captain America was really good, too. For, like, the big budget movies, I would say Super 8 was my favorite. It was really incredible. The special effects were really, really good. I remember when they were talking about it coming out, you know, it was like J.J. Abrams was wanting to tell his, like, you know, he wanted to do his, like, E.T. type movie, sci-fi movie that was going to be, you know, like the thing that, you know, kind of defined his sci-fi stuff, and it was awesome. I really liked it.
Yeah, I really love Super 8 as well. But no, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, brother.
And there were comedies, I thought, I mean, there were like a lot of really good comedies that came out this year, too. It was really good for that. I think Horrible Bosses is probably my favorite comedy that came out this year. I was very happy with it. But
it was mine, too.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a lot that were very good, so.
Yeah, and I would just to throw my two cents in, I'd say Thor, Captain America, X-Men all exceeded on a great level my expectations, and they were high. And then Rise of the Planet of the Apes was actually my favorite movie of the year. Just such a fantastic flick. And so much storytelling done with so little dialogue just in the face of Caesar the Ape. And really just sucked me in and reached me in a big way. One of the first movies to do that in a long time. Like, that's a movie I could probably look back on and think still in a few years, you know, that's going to go in my all-time favorite movies list.
Yeah, I would say that was like, I didn't like it quite as much as you, but that was like my biggest, like, pleasant surprise of the year. Because just based off the previews and stuff, I was like, it's Planet of the Apes. Like, it looks cool, the apes and stuff. But, you know, the combination of that, having James Franco talking to the apes and stuff, I was like, I just, you know, all the previews I saw made it look like it would be really good action, but the movie was probably going to be silly. But it was way better than it looked like it was going to be, for sure.
What about horror, since we, you know, we're in the horror genre here for the Muji Movie Minute? I know we reviewed a lot of movies that came out this year, but I'm trying to think if there was even one that stuck with me to a great deal.
Man, no horror movies that I saw this year I didn't think were great. Like, I mean, we watched a lot of horror movies I've never seen before that were really, really good. Let's see, I guess Let Me In came out at the end of last year. I mean, it was within the last year that it came out. I don't know if it was technically in 2011, but it was really, really good. DVD came out this summer. It might have been out, like, at the beginning of the year. But, you know, I mean, it was very good. But, I mean, all the movies that
were
really
hyped up.
Well,
it's the winner, then, regardless.
Yeah, all the
movies. It came out in 2011 and call it the winner.
All the movies that were hyped up that were supposed to be good, you know, none of them, none of them were that great, so.
Insidious.
like Insidious, yeah, exactly. that I was told by, like, 80 people was great, and I believed it for, like, the first, you know, 30 minutes of the movie. But, yeah, I mean, there's been some decent stuff. Like I said, nothing great. I mean, I think, you know, there's been awesome TV all year, you know, I mean, I think we're kind of like in a golden age for TV dramas. Like, almost everything that's out is pretty good. I think Sons of Anarchy that just ended was probably the best season of any show that I saw all year, if I had to bet on that.
I would probably agree with that. It
I mean,
was great.
I also really like Game of Thrones. It was at the very beginning of the year, and you know, but it was its first season. I thought was pretty awesome too.
Hey, can I jump back in here, guys? This is the year I got into Breaking Bad, and I forgot how incredibly awesome that show is.
Yeah, Breaking Bad is
so
great.
Want to see that.
Man, you need to. It's amazing. It's in my opinion, the best thing on TV, but that's just me. And also, you were talking about horror movies. This came out, I think, last year, but it was a Norwegian film, and it's on Netflix. But I saw it a couple weeks ago. It's called Troll Hunter.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah, that was really entertaining.
Oh, man. I love that movie.
Yeah, we reviewed that on the program.
I forgot about Troll Hunter. Yes, it was reviewed right here on the show. I had actually forgotten about Troll Hunter, but yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was definitely a very entertaining movie. And then I think it came out, the DVD came out this year, but it was one of those that got released and never got released in a few theaters and never got any traction. But it might as well be new. Came out this year. Remember we watched House of the Devil? That movie was awesome, and it came out on DVD. Not that long ago, so, I mean, it was something that's probably new to everybody in 2011, but House of the Devil was really, really good, and we reviewed that earlier on the podcast.
And that's on Netflix, Ian. I think you would really dig that. You should check out House of the Devil if you haven't seen it.
I think it officially was like a 2008 or 2009 movie, but I'm pretty positive they put it on Netflix this year, and that was like the actual, you know, big release of it, like they do with a lot of movies now.
Yeah, so it was a good year all around. Well, Muji, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the Muji Movie Minute segment here, but thank you, as always, my brother, for joining us, and we'll be on the lookout for new horror movies coming up. Oh, shit, hang on, before we go, talking about horror movies, The Thing remake was awesome.
Yeah,
not,
almost
totally
forgot.
Not
that
expecting
was so...
it to be awesome.
Yeah, that was so short ago that I forgot about that. Yeah, that was, The Thing was great. Yeah, that was definitely a really good one for this year.
Yes,
absolutely. I like Fright Night. I thought Fright Night was good.
Really? Neither one of us has seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen Fright Night yet. That's on the docket. I had some things that were shortly we got to watch. We've got to watch Fright Night. Even though I know it's going to be extremely horrible, Hostel 3 is new to DVD, so we'll watch that. Those will be two that will be on the docket soon.
There you go. All right, Muji. Well, thank you for joining us, my brother. Have a safe and happy new year, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Okay, fans. Well, I've already given him an introduction, but I'm going to do it again. That was just a special guest appearance there on the Muji Movie Minute. But we do have on the line the vocalist of Unspoken Triumph. You heard them earlier in the show, along with Slayers, the Antichrist, off the 1983 classic Show No Mercy. You heard the song The Witching by Unspoken Triumph also at the beginning of the show. Ian, I brought you on to talk metal, and talk metal is what we're going to do. First of all, tell us about Unspoken Triumph and what you're out there trying to accomplish, the sounds you're trying to make, and why all of our dear listeners here in the congregation of the Midnight Black Mass should give you a chance.
Well, basically, we're a five-piece melodic death metal band. We're really trying to push away from a lot of the conventions that have been going on in the past few years where all these bands are kind of trying to emulate the same sound. We're not, you know, we're not claiming to really be, you know, the most original, but we're trying to write really good songs that catch in people's heads and just trying to do something that's not like every other band that's, you know, around this general region. And basically just, you know, trying to invoke more emotion in people and try to, you know, express the dark side, I guess.
And that's the name of the game. I mean, you compare music to professional wrestling, they're one and the same in many ways because it's a performance art where you're out there trying to reach people on an emotional level, and that's what sells tickets. If you can touch somebody, then they're going to come back. The old saying goes, the circus only comes to town once a year, because once you've seen the fireworks and the trapeze and the bearded lady and the guy getting shot out of the cannon, you've seen it. But, you know, if you can reach people on an emotional level, then you can reach anybody from any walk of life on a repeated basis.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think, yeah, that's the importance. Like, I mean, the thing about a lot, the number one criticism I hate that people give me about death metal is the whole, I can't understand the lyrics thing. Because to me, the lyrics are really kind of secondary, you know. It's like, why does he just growl? Why didn't he just sing? Well, first off, I'm not really that talented. If anything, I'm a cheerleader for the rest of the guys. You know, I'm just headbanging and trying to get the crowd going. But that's part of that emotional connection. I feel like the screams and the growls fit with the music and really convey, you know, what the song, the emotions the song is trying to convey way more than just singing it would. To me, like, singing a pretty song about hate seems like it's, you know, fake to me. It seems like it's, you know, a kid's show. And, you know, I mean, that's just not how I want to approach it.
Yeah, and it's not the way you do. You know, I do think the band is tremendous. You really got something going on there. Every friend I've sent to go see you has come back saying they were blown away. I think you guys have a hell of a live energy. And as a vocalist, as a front man, I think you do a great job. And, you know, as far as getting out there and doing that job as the front man, as you said, the criticisms of death metal can get to you because I know what you're talking about. And people say, oh, we can't understand the lyrics. Well, like, have you ever listened to any Morbid Angel, for one? Because I always thought David Vincent had a very cool voice in that, how he would enunciate things but still give you the deepest growl. You know, it's just, I guess, a matter of taste. But like you said, the vocals are kind of secondary because it's such a musical type of music, if I can use that word. But yeah, it absolutely is something that that you can't put your hands around.
Oh yeah, it's a shared experience. You know, it's not just about me. You know, in pop music, it kind of is just about the singer, you know, and their experience. But like, you know, metal is such a musician's like kind of style, I guess, and like. You know, it's, so like the guitars are just, what's going on with the guitars is just as important, you know.
Absolutely, and some might argue more so because of the advanced technicality that it takes to pull off a lot of that stuff, all while going apeshit, you know. You're not exactly playing three-chord bar rock, but you're still out there going nuts while you're doing it, and that takes a lot of talent. But let's talk about some of your prior experiences. You had a previous band that actually got a pretty hellacious reputation, ended up getting signed, and then things kind of fell apart. But you care to talk about the experience of your former band with Faith of Flames and just what that taught you about the music industry?
Well, I mean, it really, you know, kind of just shaped me and prepared me kind of to chase my own vision, I guess. I mean, that was a lot my vision. I'm completely proud of every single thing I ever did with that band. I don't, you know, what happened. It was, you know, certain people that were vital to keeping it going lost interest, and you know, that's just the break sometimes. But you know, I determined in my life I wanted to keep it going. It was just too much fun to stop. You know, the thing about the industry is, you're talking about the year 2011. It's been a crazy year for the music industry. It's been going through this metamorphosis over the past few years, but I really feel like this is the year it's really starting to be recognized that, hey, it's not going to be the same game it's been for the past several years. You know, the internet has really turned things on its head. Like the idea of selling a physical album is so, like, supposedly, I've read a couple news stories that say that as of next year, most major labels are going to discontinue CD as a format. The only physical format that's rising in sales right now is vinyl. I've actually taken up a vinyl collection myself. I enjoy the shit out of vinyl. But because to me, it's like, you know, it's something personal you get to own, you know. And to me, digital music kind of, you know, it's convenient, but it takes that away from that. But, I mean, at the same time, with such an amazing outlet like the internet, you just can't completely ignore it. A lot of my traditional industry knowledge came from more of a time where they were still focused on the old method. So I'm still learning things. And that's, you know, but it's just as far as, like, promoting your band and getting your band out there, going through all those old experiences with the Faith or Flames is really what's kind of helped me give Unspoken Triumph more of a jump start, I guess. And it's kind of helped us, you know, help us make a lot of the right decisions early on that I learned from my experiences with Faith or Flames.
Yeah, and a couple of things you touched on there that I would like to delve into a little bit. I'd spoken at great length with a few of my guests previously about this, and everyone from the music field, and you come on and we haven't discussed it, but your opinion is the same. The wave of digital music, due to the technology, of course, is the way things are going. You can't stop it. But me, as a sentimental old fart, I do like to have the physical album, you know, something you can hold in your hand. It used to be that experience, you know, when you're a kid, out seeking new music. You go to the record store, you pick up your CDs, you get the album artwork, you get the booklet, and it really becomes a more personal experience. Like, now you just push a button and it's there on your computer and you can look at the picture, but it's just not the same.
No, it's not. And that's another reason I really love vinyl, is because not only do you have this thing that you own, but it's rather large in size. So it kind of doubles as a poster sometimes. I've hung vinyl records on my wall as decorations plenty of times, and it's, you know, it just feels more real. And the music to me, through vinyl, if it's recorded the right way, sounds more real. You know, it doesn't sound as clear or crisp as digital would, but it just feels like the band's almost in the room playing with, you know. It's really awesome. I couldn't be a bigger fan of vinyl. And hopefully you'll hear some unspoken triumph on vinyl very soon. I don't know.
That would be outstanding, and I actually love vinyl as well. It has a very warm sound to it, and they say, actually, that a vinyl will give you a more clear and crisp sound than a CD from a technical standpoint, but vinyl records are so tender, you know, they're so hard to take care of, that you lose your sound quality pretty much a little bit every time you run the needle over it. So, you know, it's, of course, why you end up with the scratch and record. The scratched record adage is, you know, that people speak of. But, yeah, you talked about the year 2011 in music, and I mentioned earlier on the show some of my favorite albums, and my pick for album of the year was actually Anthrax Worship Music. Talk about other bands in 2011. What were you really digging, and what were some of your favorite offerings?
Well, this has been a real crazy year. This is one of those years where everything that I was into kind of got turned on its head. You know, I've been listening to the same styles for so long that I kind of burned myself out on them and had to seek out, like, kind of newer things. So one of the first bands that caught me, and a couple of these bands I'm going to mention, people will argue that it was really a album of last year, but the actual official North American release was this year. I didn't find them until this year, so I'm counting. But the first one would be the album from Ghost, Opus Eponymous. Yeah, I was talking earlier about how metal needs to be aggressive and mean and dirty. Well, they actually take that convention and turn it on its head. It's really super happy, and super, like, poppy and catchy, but it's also hilariously satanic, and it's just so funny. I mean, it's really, like, I mean, you can tell it's a mockery and they don't take it seriously. Maybe they do take it seriously. I don't know, but, I mean, just how happy and, like, almost, like, 60s psychedelic all the music is, it makes you feel... Imagine, like, go-go dancers dancing to it and stuff, but it's just, all the lyrics are just awesomely satanic. It's just, and it's like, the singer kind of sounds like Weird Al, but they get compared a lot to, like, Merciful Fate and, like, Blue Oyster Cult and bands like that, but I really, really enjoyed that album.
And I've heard you talking about that on Facebook all year long, actually, and that's a band I've been meaning to check out. So after that detailed review, I think I'll give some Ghost a try.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a novelty, but it's a fun novelty, and it works. So, you know, that's my attitude about that.
To be original, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, like, you know, such a sudden change from everything I've been listening to. Like, last year was a big death metal year for me. It was a lot of Decrepit Birth and Cephalic Carnage and, you know, all these crazy technical death metal bands. I kind of burned myself out on that and needed to step away from it. But, I guess another album I got really into was also kind of a departure, something I hadn't really heard much of, a band called Kvelertak, and they're from Norway. They're actually, we were talking about Troll Hunter. They're actually on the Troll Hunter soundtrack. They're the band that plays during the credits. I didn't know that. I found this album, like, way earlier in the year, and it's just, it's kind of a weird mix of, like, black metal and, like, pop rock, like The Strokes and, like, Wolf Mother and that kind of stuff. And it's just a really interesting blend. It's really fun, but still really metal and really awesome and just super creative, and there's nothing else like it right now. And I mean, I have a feeling this is going to be a heavily imitated band in the next few years. They're going to start their own subgenre and be like, you know, 60 bands that are following their footsteps. But I hope not, because this band has something special. I've been pushing this band heavy and hard on everybody. So if I heard them, definitely check them out.
I will. Absolutely. And crazy Norwegians and Scandinavians are always coming up with something. But, yes, another branch will be added to the metal tree if these sounds catch on. And I have nothing wrong with that. You know, bands try to find their identity. Some of them do it by emulating other bands. Some of them do it all on their own. But certainly originality is key. So we talked about your favorite albums of the year. I mentioned my album of the year was Anthrax Worship Music. I was also a big fan of that new Machine Head, Under the Locust. That was heavy as elephant tits, as they say.
Yeah, I didn't get to hear either of those. I still need to. I don't know why I haven't yet. It kind of pisses me off. I haven't even heard the new Hank 3 yet. I beat myself up. I've just been, you know, like, those albums have been so good that they've been on repeat. There's actually my favorite album of the year is a band I'm going to go see, hopefully, later this month, called Graveyard. And they're from Sweden, and they're more of like a throwback kind of band. They're like a Led Zeppelin-y, kind of Black Sabbath-y kind of band, and they are incredible. They were actually at Bonnaroo this year. I found them after Bonnaroo. If I'd known, I probably would have got the ticket just to see them. But their album, High Thinking Blues, is my favorite album that's come out this year. It's just amazing. I definitely recommend that one.
That's cool, though, to me, because, like, there are, like, as you mentioned, 850 million zillion fucking subgenres of metal. There's a million of them. So, you know, it's... If you can invent a new subgenre, then why not? It's what I've got to say, basically, about that. That's something I definitely would.
I'm getting to where, like, I think each band should try to be its own subgenre and not try to, you know, do, like, I always have a thing against using, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with drawing influence from, you know, other, you know, you kind of have to in metal, because if you go too far off the spectrum, then you're not metal anymore. So you kind of have to follow the rules to an extent. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you don't want to do anything too recent. I never want to, like, imitate something that's just come out. So when a new band comes out that's like, sounds like, oh, this is the updated version of the band that just came out last year, I'm like, really, guys? Come on. Go a different direction with it, you know? And so that's really what
We call that the 7-year rule in professional wrestling. If it's been more than 7 years, it's okay to steal.
That sounds good. I've never actually put a date on it. I always try to look at, you know, 20. You know, I say 20 years, because typically in music, what was 10 years ago is out of style and corny. And then 20 years ago is when it becomes classic again. And then it kind of stays cool after that. Like, you can keep going further back. But you want to avoid, like, right now, like, you kind of want to avoid the 2000 era. You don't want to sound like bands that were out, you know, that recently, but still, like, kind of far away, you know? So I feel like it's cool to, like, you know, jock bands from the 90s.
But, hey, that's fine, you know. Don't want another group of new metal coming up anytime soon, any damn way.
It probably will, man. I'm telling you. If I'm right, it probably will. And it may be cool, it may not. I mean, you know, it's like, Korn's doing songs with Skrillex now, so that may be it. That may be, like, the first, like, oh, we're going to start a band like that. There actually are dubstep hardcore bands. It's kind of ridiculous to me, but, you know, people are going to like what they like. And, you know, I mean, I'm getting old, so I'm tired of arguing with kids.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the dubstep either. I don't quite understand what the appeal is. I guess that makes me officially out of touch.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. South Park did an episode about it, so it made me feel a little more okay about not being part of that. But, you know, I'm happy with my
Stevie Ray Vaughan and Steamy Nicks.
That's a show that's been consistently good. I heard that they're about getting ready to end it, though. But, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like it's still going strong, you know. It's not like The Simpsons is buttered out, but I don't know. Sorry to change the
story. Yeah. No, like, I mean, I'll agree, because we talk about TV on here, and South Park is a big influence on this show. Like, that style of humor is right up my alley, so certainly I tend to lean on that when delving into arrays of comedy. But I agree, I think they have been consistently great, and really, as long as there's current events, then South Park could continue making shows. But, you know, the guys put a lot of effort into it, and I'm sure it consumes actually, if you watch that making of special there, you know it consumes a great deal of their lives, and they probably, they love doing it, but they've made $1 jillion, so I guess they feel it's probably not necessary to keep going. But Trey Parker and Matt Stone, me and Ian Sharp want you to keep South Park on the air.
Totally. At least make more movies. If you're going to stop the show, I mean, you know, the South Park movie was so good. I don't know why they haven't done more of those, but, you know. I'd be cool with no show if there was a movie every, like, 2 years, you know, that was as good as that one.
Yeah, apparently they had a hellish experience with the studio when trying to get that movie released, and that's why there hasn't been another South Park movie.
Well, I mean, they could, like, I mean, but nowadays it seems like you could do a lot more independently, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just don't like the brand.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of there not being new South Park, so I look forward to. That's a day I don't want to see. And I know I will, so it pisses me out.
All of the fucking stupidity in the world needs to be lampooned, and South Park does it better than anybody, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any shows now that are, like, taking the torch, but I don't know.
Like, Workaholics is pretty fucking hilarious, but I don't know how long they'll be able to keep up that streak, and it's a different kind of fight. It's just totally stupid dick fart and pot and beer jokes, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, well, I've seen it, that show I've liked. I haven't, like, watched a whole bunch of it, but I've seen, like, 4 or 5 episodes. I've enjoyed it. I think it's surprising. Usually that show that comes on next to South Park is always kind of meh. I thought that was, like, a nice little gem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been the death slot for many experimental shows that they've tried that have just fallen on their asses. But then some, like the Chappelle Show, succeeded and you know, ended up becoming some of their biggest shows. But anyway, beside the point there, been an interesting interview, Ian. You know, we've talked about your career, your music. Anything you want to plug?
Well, let's see. I mean, obviously, you know, the band, if you want to check us out, Facebook's a great place, kind of a central hub. You mentioned our Bandcamp earlier. That's our main place to download stuff. But that's actually a tab on our Facebook page. So if you go to our Facebook page, you can go straight to it. Not a problem. So just search for us. It's Unspoken Triumphs, facebook.com/unspokentriumphs. However you want to do it, you'll come across us. It'll be fine. It'll be a fun time. I don't take it too seriously. I have a lot of fun on there. I post a lot of sarcastic asshole bullshit. It's fun. We all have a good time, you know. If there's a lot of Chattanooga people that are listening to this, I actually am working on a pretty awesome metal fest coming up in May. It's going to be called the Metal as Fuck Fest, and it's going to be mostly at JJ's Bohemia with one date at Sluggo's. The dates are going to be May 17th through 20th, and the lineup is pending, but if you follow us on Facebook, you'll get all your news through there. So.
And if it's metal as fuck, then what other description do you need?
Yeah, we'll actually also be at JJ's on the 31st of January if you want to come check us out sooner.
Awesome. I will try to make it out to that for sure. It's been a great interview, Ian.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah, you too. And congratulations on your child, man. I don't know if I've told you that yet.
Thank you, brother. She's been quite interesting. She's pretty mental. She doesn't sleep. She screams very loud. And she's constantly wallowing in her own defecation.
Good, good. Raising them right.
All right, man. Happy New Year to you. Hope 2012's killer, and I will definitely try to get out to JJ's to see you guys on the 31st.
All right, man. Thanks a ton. Have a good one.
All right, man. See ya. That was Unspoken Triumph vocalist Ian Sharp. Had a great time on the show with him. I've actually known Ian going back to high school. Very happy to see his band thriving and of the most popular things here in the town at the moment in the Chattanooga area. And they have started to gain a little bit of regional following from that. They're with Faith or Flames, former fans, because that they really built up a hell of a fan base in those days even. And they actually traveled all over the country, did several tours, and did a lot of traveling here in the region. So they're actually been in the studio recently. Hope to have a new release dropping soon. And as Ian says, you can check them out on their Facebook page. That's search engine Unspoken Triumph or facebook.com/unspokentriumph. Okay, fans, going to go to some more tunes. I'm actually going to play another cut off Unspoken Triumph's Vindication EP. The song's called Hatred Personified.
Yeah.
heard Unspoken Triumph with the song Hatred Personified off the album Vindication, the EP, should I say. That was our guest, Ian Sharp, tonight, the front man, the vocalist for that amazing up-and-coming heavy metal band, Melodic Death Metal, as he calls it. And I'd have to agree. I think they're one of the most energetic bands in the region right now. So head on over to their Facebook page and check them out. We have now the segment that everyone looks forward to. Where we take a week by week look at the DC animated universe. This is TV Casualty. And this week we're looking still at Batman the Animated Series as we move forward into the next installment. Later we will look at if we make it through Batman, Superman the Animated Series, and of course Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. But the title of this week's episode was called Pretty Poison, seeing the debut of Dr. Pamela Isley, who is seen at this point as the girlfriend of District Attorney Harvey Dent, who at this point is still simply the Gotham City District Attorney, a good man, a good friend of Bruce Wayne, man some people think is Batman, because he sticks it to the criminals. We know later, if you're a Batman fan, that Harvey Dent is going to take a major change, and you probably know that if you're not a Batman fan, because who on the fucking planet Earth has not seen The Dark Knight? But regardless, Harvey Dent dating Pamela Isley. Harvey is mysteriously poisoned and ends up in the Gotham City Hospital. We find out that the clues lead right back to his fiancée, Miss Isley, a beautiful blonde botanist, or a beautiful redheaded botanist, should I say. She is worked her whole life on research of plants and studies, and come to find out she's a little more... a little more one with the plants than we would like to believe. She actually is, in her secret identity, the supervillain Poison Ivy. And we find out, of course, that obviously she is Poison Harvey Dent. Very dramatic episode, another in a great long line. You get to see really how devious Poison Ivy can be. Introduced as the first female villain on the show. Batman does have a few female villains. Harley Quinn is, of course, a sidekick to the Joker, and she has appeared, but as far as the headliner villain, Poison Ivy is quite possibly one of the greatest in Batman. Catwoman would rival her, but not always is she a villain in the Batman universe. Of course, Batman saves the day, nothing new there, but you do get a great battle with Batman and the plant life, and he uses his detective instincts to solve the case, as always. And we'll be back next week with another edition of TV Casualty, looking at the Batman animated series and the overview of the DC animated universe. We're going to move on to some more tunes before we get back and close out the show with the Seance of the Damned. But right now, I've been in a thrash mood lately, folks. It's something that I've had a fever for. It just hadn't been able to cure it. This past couple of weeks, I've been pumping out the Anthrax, I've been pumping out the old Metallica, pumping out the Megadeth, the Exodus, Creator, had a thrash itch, but this band scratched it the best. My opinion, the most underrated of all the California thrash metal bands, my personal favorite of the whole group, got to see them last year opening for Megadeth, Chuck Billy, Alex Skolnick, Eric Peterson, Greg Christian, Paul Bostaff at the moment. Of course, they've had previous drummers like John Tempesta and Louis Clemente. This is an old classic tune by Testament off the 1988 album, The New Order. This song is called Disciples of the Watch. don't get no better than that, folks. That is San Francisco, California's Testament with Disciples of the Watts from the 1988 classic album, The New Order. Add that one to your collection if you don't already have it. Go to iTunes.com or the official Testament website. I'm sure they'd be happy to let you purchase a copy. Fans, getting ready to go for the Seance of the Damned. Our final segment here on the show, as always, where we try to summon the spirits of the dead. And I want to apologize for my under-the-weather condition. Still recovering from this Christmas crud. I said I'm almost over it, but it's gotten me just a little off my game tonight. And the Rev ain't usually out here stumbling and bumbling. But I'm here, and I know I made you wait 2 weeks for another show. But still, we brought you some great tunes, a great guest in Ian Sharp, a very articulate and intelligent guy. A great edition of the Muji Movie Minute with several year-in-review commentaries. We brought you news, and we brought you a whole lot more here this week on the Midnight Black Mass. So thank you for joining us, and while that song was playing, I got out my brand-new Ouija board, so Jake the Snake, don't even think about it. This one's unlisted. I gotta send you a screening before you can call this one, I do believe. I think I have my snake problem fixed in terms of the Midnight Black Mass Seance of the Damned. So, the incantations are ready to go. Repeat after me. In the burning flame of the candle's light, I call forth ye damned spirits of the night. Los sombra nostrasna, in nomine Satanas. Okay, that chill is in the air. I do believe we have a guest, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Midnight Black Mass. Our guest, who do we have here?
Scrimp.
Pardon? Who am I speaking with?
Scrimp.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
It's Kim Jong-il. What's happening, player?
Okay. The dictator of North Korea, ladies and gentlemen, Kim Jong-il, joining the show. I'm doing okay, Kim Jong. What would you prefer? I call you Kim Jong or Mr. Il?
You call me Kim Jong.
Okay, well, where are you calling from, Kim Jong?
I'm calling from hell.
Well, that makes sense. How you holding up down there?
Other than being in hell, you know, very good, very good. Very relieved.
Why are you relieved?
Well, now that I'm in hell, I can tell the truth, you know. Being a dictator in a communist country, I kept many secrets for many years. Was very, very important to crowd North Korea in shroud of mystery.
Okay, I can see that. It must have been tough. Why don't you tell us some of those secrets, huh? You know, you're on in the afterlife. I'm sure the audience would love a good story. Very few people to implicate now.
No way, dude. My story's for Satan's ears only, not even for his minions.
Damn.
Yeah, since everything on fire around here, campfire stories very popular. I tell Lord of Darkness stories of pain and torture. He finds them to be very, very funny.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's Satan. He really blurs the line between comedy and drama. A real visionary. Makes me very confused sometimes, but I just raffle wrong.
Of course. What else can you do, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yep.
Heh heh.
Well, I read that you are a huge movie fan, that you owned over 20,000 VHS tapes and DVDs, and we cover all of that media here on the Midnight Mass, particularly the media on the fringe, but is this true?
Yes, it's true. Very big fan, very big corrector, even on Kickboxer on Laserdisc. What a nice find, eh?
Yeah, I suppose. So what are some of your other favorite movies?
Well, obviously, Godzilla, because no monster, no monster thing there. It's not because of the monster, but because any film about destruction of Japan and Japanese, it resonates in my heart. Independence Day, for same obvious reasons. Also, Lady and the Tramp. I tried that spaghetti move on ladies many times, but could not master.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Well, it's been very interesting, I suppose. Is there anything else you want to say before you go, Kim Jong?
Yes, question. You know, these blocked the satellites down here, so I missed the last two episodes of Sons of Anarchy. Is Clay dead?
Well, spoiler alert, fans, for having seen it, but I know he lived.
Yes! Score another one for the good guys. Yeah! Oh, and one more thing. You watch that show, The Rig? I heard that guy on here talking about The Rig.
The Rig?
The Rig, you know, about the football on FX.
Yes, I love The Rig myself. I didn't actually get a chance to talk about it, but it's one of my favorite shows.
What? But did you see that? You ever try that free penis wine?
Did you just say free penis wine?
Yeah, you know, from The Rig, that show.
Okay, yeah, I remember Taco had the three penis wine. It was a hilarious moment in television.
Yeah, well, you know, he uses it for the antioxidants and the minerals in the animals' penises, right? But you see, I made my own three penis wine. It has black penis, white penis, and Mexican penis. No Asian penis, so no MSG.
Okay, the dad always loved to become practical jokers. It must be a very popular thing to become a comedian in hell. But Kim Jong-il, thank you for joining us, sir. And we do hope you join us again with more stories of your afterlife and possibly some of them North Korean nuclear secrets.
Yeah, we'll see. Get a life.
Okay, well, then he's gone. And that was Kim Jong-il, ladies and gentlemen, allegedly. I, as the Reverend, have to give you the disclaimer that we are opening portals to neither realms, so demons are notorious tricksters. You never know when someone is impersonating a person of repute or fame, so I have no way of verifying that. We'll just, for the moment, take his word that that was Kim Jong-il of North Korea. This edition of the Midnight Black Mass has come to an end. Fans, thank you for joining us. It's another great show. The Red's going to go get some rest and get rid of this Christmas crud once and for all. Be back in top form for you next week. Happy New Year to you all. 2011, the clock is winded down. We are now officially at New Year's Eve. Will the Mayan prophecy of doom and destruction take place in 2012? Are we truly living in the end times? The Rev don't think so. I just think the Mayans, they perhaps should have planned a little bit further in their calendar. I guess they didn't think they would need a calendar past 2012, and they actually didn't need one for much longer after it was written. Oh! Okay, before I get sued, the Rev's getting off the air here, but thank you. I want to remind you to keep one foot in the gutter, one fist in the gold. Go to NWAChattanooga.com, NWAAnarchy.net. Go to Facebook, by God, and like our official The Rev's Midnight Black Mass page. I made it a very interactive experience for you. All of the things we talk about, I give you a little taste, a little multimedia experience, if you will. We've put up commercials, the original commercials off of YouTube that aired for these Batman episodes. We've put up music videos of many of the bands we play, put up a lot of news articles, and a whole lot more. So join us there at The Rev's Midnight Black Mass. Just type that in your search engine on Facebook, fans. Keep one foot in the gutter, one fist in the gold. This is the Reverend. Good night.
For listening to the Tribecast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.